Today, I speak to Inaya, who is actually also a fellow sound healer. She has spent 3 decades delving into the depths of human motivations and behaviors. For the past 10 years, Inaya has dedicated herself to the healing arts, specializing in sound healing, energy healing, and the exploration of Akashic records. She has authored 3 books that serve as bridges between science and spirituality, offering insights into the core issues humanity faces and the potential for personal and collective transformation. As the founder of Oak Root Spiritual Academy, Inaya's mission is to empower individuals to embrace their divine duality and navigate the interconnectedness of all aspects of existence.
Hi, Inaya. Welcome to the show. How are you today?
Thank you, Véronique. I'm very fine. Thank you.
All right. So we're going to start right away. I'm going to ask you about sound healing because just recently I just became a sound healer.
Yeah. That's a part of it. Yeah.
And when I first booked the interview with you, I think it was a few months ago, I wasn't a sound healer yet. And I just finished my training and I just started working. So I'm very interested. Yeah. I'm very interested in talking to you about that. So, but first we're going to start to talk about how it all started, because before you became a healer, you were a professional tennis coach for 14 years. So how does your experience of coaching sport to people and motivate people to have a good foundation? How does it help with your work, what you're doing today?
Oh, yes. It's a journey, you know. I actually was it for 30 years and combined with being an artist and a scenographer. It's by that time, all of the personal development, because I saw it like that. It was not only coaching, but it was really to see a person's movement, and I could see what's the next to deliver their natural way to be a good tennis player and to have joy. But in the court, it's always something that is the doing that we can see exactly how to perform. When it comes to coaching in another way, when we are not in a sport or anything, it's really about not the doings, because the doings keep us in the surface and not in what's really happened beyond it. So it was kind of a big shift for me to come into the healing reality from being in more the creative and performing to be more the listener. But I had the skill from listening from their natural behavior. What was easy for them to take as next step. And as a healer, I am never a healer. I'm a healer in a way, but it's just what's already there in the client that is ready to be unfold, ready to be healed, that I can help on the road, but it's always the client that does the healing, actually.
Yeah, that's actually what I learned, you know, during the sound healing training, that you're not the one who's going to heal the person. The person is going to heal themselves. You're just helping them, showing them the way how to do it. But you're not, you're not the one who's going to heal them.
And as a healer, of course, I am a channel for the universal law and for higher spectras than myself. And when I can reach the client with those energies, and they are also then we heal from a source that are so much bigger than ourselves. And with sound, especially with vocal sound, and when I do it or my client do it, it's so vibrational, so it shifts the energy field so much, and it can heal so many things in the body, and also, of course, a state of being aligned. And from there, my core mission is to establish a new way to see life, and not from what media or school have taught us, and not from the split, but from divine duality. And when we have used sound, and when we are centered, we can come into another way to look at ourselves, and there it's a safe place and a healing place.
So is sound healing very popular in Sweden? So just for the people who listen to us, Inaya is from Sweden. I'm calling her in Sweden right now. So is it very popular in Sweden? Because in America, it's kind of very popular to do sound bath and sound healing. So I wanted to know, in Europe, how is that over there?
Yeah, well, I have like 15 crystal singing bowls and gong and everything. I do the sound baths.
But, I love it.
But they are more helpful in the retreats and for the transformation. It's not like I have them. I'm not so found in only make a soft, nice time for a person, but also to be able to use it in their daily life afterwards.
Okay. All right.
So with vocal sound healing, it's more they can also have the their own tools to heal themselves. Also, the sound healing or the sound bath, when I do guided meditations, make them easier to come into their worldview that lives inside everyone, that is in connection to nature, to nature beings, to the elementals, to everything as living consciousness. And we can start to flow in another way than we do in our constructed world.
So when you say, you said like using your voice for healing, are you talking about chanting? Okay, what do you do? Do you make them chant or is it singing?
I was taught by Gita Ben David. So she has a concept that calls a note from heaven, but it's a big range of using the voice. But in the ground, it's a hang sang that undertones, closed undertones that you can scan the body and feel where it's when the fluid is going like it should, and the bone structure and everything, that it's transform the energy from the sound. And when it doesn't come through, it sounds like a donkey or something, like that, because there are two tunes and they can't go in the same path, and then they are split. And there you know that you have to stop and use overtones, and overtones comes from, when resonance in the body for the tune, and then they come fractals in the body and out. So it's like a very healing sound. So so one use undertones, both hangsan, that is closed undertones, but also like groan undertones, and different sounds like the vocals, feminine sounds like a e a i o u. They are different healing parts of the body, and the consonants are the masculine tones, and they are, they are not the healing sounds, but they are penetrating sounds, as the masculine energy is.
Oh, I never knew about that. Okay, this is new news for me. Wow, I never heard about that.
That's for example, when you do a, it's a balancing between the female and male. Mm-hmm. But always when we do the scanning of the body and the overtones, it's always with the feminine sounds.
Okay, good to know. So you created a spiritual academy, the Oakwood Spiritual Academy.
Yes.
So you're guiding people to embrace their divine duality. So what is divine duality?
Divine duality, it's we have been taught that there are oneness, and then duality is a split from source, and that it's counterparts that doesn't match each other, like this is good or it is bad. We have, the opposites are in contradictions. But actually, when I looked into and channel about yin yang, it's an ecstasy between the counterparts of darkness and light. So when we just put attraction between two counterparts, in the middle comes the pure channel of light from source, and the two counterparts, all their ingredients is from their path, from everything that has stored in their energy for that person, is a creative and healing tool. So if you see it like we live in a kind of inverted way to use the number three, the triangle. So the triangle, when we use it as it is with contradictions, it's like we have a victim, a perpetrator, and an accuser. And when the victim accuses the perpetrator feels like a victim. And, you know, it's going on like this. And this is what happens because our system of the split from source. But when we see it as an expansion of source, it's an area in the middle. And in this area, it's a creative and healing part. And actually, everything that we have in our shadow is created from the duality of contradictions. And when we just meet them with attraction, we start to heal all what have been created in every person from that kind of duality that we have been misusing.
Is it like, are you talking about people who have like trauma? Or are you talking about everybody in general?
Absolutely. I just 1 week ago ended a 6-day retreat with people. And we do lots of things to integrate with universal law and to be with our chakras in the balanced energy and integrate with the nature, with elementals, to be really understanding sacred space around us and fluid body. But every time when a trauma comes up or a conflict in a conflict, we use divine duality to heal what's coming up. And it's very, very effective.
Do you do that under meditation, hypnotism?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Yeah, we do it. We balance ourselves first, like vertical breath.
Okay.
Breathing vertical. Because then we are connected to source and earth and grounded. Mm. And then we just put in one hand, in the left hand, we put, for example, what we accuse ourselves for. In the right hand, we can put forgiveness. And we start to move them together very, very, very slow. And when we do it, we come into the points where they are, you know, conflict between them. And they stay for a while, and then they continue. And for every time when they stop, it's a healing process. And when they come together, the field is open.
Okay, so that's one of the ways to heal.
Yeah, it's one of the ways, actually. Mm. Yeah. So that is one way. But of course, I do other modalities, as family constellation and like that, and the consciousness and love is always the way for us to let go of the shadow.
What is a shadow?
Because
you said shadow. What is the shadow when you said shadow? What is
well,
that? Is that trauma?
All our filters. The filters that we have achieved by different lifetimes from ancestors, genetics, and from our life here. We have lots of filters to receive information in a very individual way. And not as it is from the beginning.
And so,
save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is an interior paint and primer in one with a top blasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter paint at Menards and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. Oh, you're talking also about Akashic Records. So that's something I talked about with other guests before, and they were psychic. So are you a psychic also? Are you a psychic?
I guess so.
You guess so?
I mean, I can really see I get a film of what happened in other lifetimes.
Yeah.
I don't know what you call a psychic, but this is a natural thing for
okay,
me.
Okay, so you can feel that. Do you see like pictures or do you see something?
No, I see it more like film, a film.
Like a film. But this is so fascinating. I know how people do that because how did you go from being a coach to being like a psychic? What happened in your life? Something happened, right, I guess.
Yes.
You know, you were a coach for 30 years and you started very young at 14. I don't understand how you were a coach at 14, by the way. That's really young. And then you coach for 30 years and now you're helping people with spirituality. Can you take us from there? You know, what happened?
Yeah, well, I have a good luck to, as you said, to work as a tennis coach very, very early. So when I was in school, I was already getting my money for what I'm doing. So I never had a normal job because I was an artist and a tennis coach. And when I didn't have an economy from the one, I got it from the other. And I lived, you know, with not so many needs because my need was what I already did. No, so I didn't have that much costs, but for good. Traveling, of course. After when I was 26, my really close friend, since I was 8, got schizophrenic and hang herself. And after that, I was really, what do you call it? Well, I didn't care about myself at all. I felt my power was dangerous because I couldn't help her, but I judged myself because I had an exhibition that really was made about that everything is like without limits and she needed the ground. So from there, I had a real dark, dark time with a man that I had a daughter with and later a hidden address. Like we lived hidden address for 10 years. So within that time, I start to understand that creativity is not all. That healing was very, very needed thing before we could be creative. We can't be creative if we are not in a healing possession, if we are not whole and if we are unbalanced, we cannot be creative. And it's no interest to be creative if we have lots of things that we first have to take care of.
So you took care of yourself, and then what brought you to the spirituality main path, I guess, from there?
When I was 5, I knew that I am an artist, like I born to be an artist. So I couldn't do anything else. Also that in school, I just did things because I was interested and not because of the degrees, because I knew I would be an artist anyway.
Are you a painter? What do you do?
Well, all kind of arts.
What kind of arts? Sculpture?
Very much three, welding, building with glass, building with concrete, painting, wow. Scenography.
That's nice.
Actually, I've been in like also city planning as an artist. So it's many, many different. Just, you know, the road leads away. When you do one thing, another thing appear.
Yeah. I know, it's right. You know, when you're aligned, like you said, when you're aligned, it just goes. Sometimes it goes faster than you think it's going to go. And you're like, okay, I'm just going to go that way. That's what I'm supposed to be.
I think, you know, when we just go for what comes from inside and what's and we are open for what we can receive.
Yes.
It's to take the step. And even though I don't know anything about a thing and I got the possible chance to do it, it's just like, okay, I do it. And I learn with doing it. And when I learn doing it, I come to next level, and then I come to next level. So it's so much about taking the step, even though you're not safe with that, you really can do it.
So you're also a writer. You wrote three books.
Yeah, I wrote the three books about the paradigm shift.
Yeah, so that bridge like science and spirituality. So what inspired you to do that, to write about those two worlds together? What do you think we need to learn about this?
Well, for me, the biggest subject actually is the liminal space for me. That all that we see, it's already done. It's like manifested and done. and everything new, it happens between them in the liminal space. So that is divine duality. You know, in the liminal space between two things, the third can come up. And it's all life. It's all relations. It happens when we relate to something, something new appears, and we get vital. All the books is about personal development in this time in the world where everything is change, in change, and how to be stable and powerful in that, in this new era.
And in your latest book, Unfolding, Awakening to Your Pure Potential, is that the last one you wrote?
It's the last one, yes.
Yeah, okay.
The first one is this creative existence, unfolding a new conscious world. And then I have one dream state called Dream State.
Okay. And so the last one, Awakening to Your Pure Potential, is it to help people follow their path or know why they on Earth, know their purpose?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, the first book, This Creative Existence, it's more about all the, it's the wisdom beyond it. And Dream State is like a film of, a very short film of this very intense book, like it's, you know, so much in it. And the third book, Unfolding, is more about, it's a more practical book that you can use to really take your steps into development.
Okay. So the development, like spirituality?
Well, spirituality, I think everyone is. It's the next...
I know some people, they're not. But I know some people, they don't.
In a way, everyone are born spiritual because we have a soul. But it's about becoming in a state where we can feel love within ourselves and our life becomes spiritual. I think, you know, it's just like when we are not in a state of receiving all the abundance that Earth gives, it's because we have closed the door to spirituality, but we are spiritual.
Something else I wanted to ask you, yeah, you work in a refugee camp also.
Camp for 4 years, between 2013 and 17.
In Sweden?
Me and my husband own it.
Wow.
It was before between 84 and 130 people. Depends on, because there's so many refugees came to Sweden at that time. Mm-hmm. And it mm-hmm. was a very, very good experience and learning experience with all these.
Yeah, I'm sure you know a lot about people. Like trauma, resilience. Yeah.
And actually, because I had my time with 10 years of hidden address and everything, I could really meet them at the spot where they were, and they saw that I understood where they were. So we had a very, very good connection. It was very easy to have that camp, even though we had like 14 different countries that people came from with all their different religions under the same roof.
Yeah, and lots of, that's what it takes sometimes.
And it worked. It worked as a family, actually, because everyone was in the state of coming into a foreign country and needed us. And when we balanced everything, it was really going well.
It's too bad sometimes that it takes something that extreme, right, to get everybody on the same roof. It's too bad. So from sport, art, from refugee camp, to spiritual healing, do you think that, what kind of lesson, you know, you think you learn and you can share with people, with humanity?
Well, I think the love to life, the love and the abundance existing everyone, the trust in oneself, even though it's hard times. I think also people can see that I'm very stable when I meet them in their trauma, that it doesn't stress me at all because I've been there and I have so many perspectives of life that I can really listen and see the person coming to me, the persons.
Who comes to you usually? People who have like maybe older people, young people, or people who have trauma from family or from war or from?
Well, it's not that many from like people from the refugee camp, because they are more into religion.
Yes.
Religious people doesn't come to me, but otherwise it's from America, it's from Sweden, it's from Europe, it's from Australia. But yeah, both men and women, there are seekers and lots of also people with big traumas.
Do you offer your service online, or do they have to come to Sweden? Do you do healing?
I do both. Yeah,
you can do both. Yeah, I think it's so cool that we can do healing from, you know, online, because I do a lot of sun healing, sun bath on Zoom, on YouTube.
You do
it?
I have
a very good mic. Yeah, yeah. I have a very good mic, and people tell me, oh, I would feel like you're with us in the room because my mic is really good. Yeah.
It's so fantastic. Also, when I do sound healing, it's like people can be sleeping in another part of the world, and they actually receive the healing.
Yeah.
And that's so interesting. But I never done, as you do, sound bath through the web, because I felt that it's the sensation for the ear is not as good, but it maybe is. That's interesting. I will test it.
You need a good mic, and they need to wear a headset. If they wear a good headset. And
they have headset.
Yeah. So a headset and a good mic, it's like I'm in the room with them. Because even when I'm like moving my feet, sometimes I want to change, you know, position.
Yeah.
And then I was doing one with my brother 2 weeks ago, and he was like, we can hear you moving.
Wow.
So it's really like
inspiring. The sound. Thank really you.
Yeah. You should try it. Yeah.
Yes.
The people are in their house, so it's very convenient. Very convenient.
Yes, it is.
So before we go, do you want to add something? Maybe like a question I didn't ask?
I think it was a very nice meeting with you. Thank you,
Vinny. Yeah. Yeah, I loved it. I love, you know, meeting fellow sound healer, especially now, you know, I started in this new path, and I finally find, you know, what I'm supposed to be. So I really love it. And I think I'm going to have more interview like this about sound healing and about, you know, about healing in general. So, well, thank you very much, Inaya. I'm going to let you go back to your life because it's late in Sweden right now.
Oh, yeah. It's soon 10 p.m.
Yeah, 10 p.m. Okay. So I'm going to let you go. And thank you very much for coming to Align and Thriving. And I will leave all the information, you know, how to contact you in the show notes if people want to know what you're doing and contact you. Okay?
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here with me.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.